Well, welcome to singing school this morning. Let's begin with a prayer. Welcome everyone to our service. And would there be prayer requests? Let's just bow our heads and thank the Lord. Our dear Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus, your dear Son, we come to you. And I just want to praise your name again in song, dear God. And teach us how to sing, Father. And may our the words we sing be that which our hearts say and live. Dear Father, help us not to be just a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, but that we would have charity, have true love in our hearts. Love for the brethren, and love for Jesus. And dear Father, we praise you for this Lord's Day morning, and the gathering of the saints. We ask you to bless each one. Pray for those of you who may be suffering affliction or pain. There will be. May your spirit be with them, bless them, and keep them. Thank you, Father, for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's just open our books there to read a little bit. 58, that last song we sang. Isaac Watts. Seems like he understood what love for one another should be like. And you see how he says, verse 4, no bliss can equal theirs. Who's that? He's talking about, like in verse 2, all the brethren in their stations move, and each performs his part in all the cares of life and love with sympathizing heart. And so he says, verse 4, no bliss can equal theirs. It's just bliss. Do you know what bliss is? It's just blessedness. It's wonderful. It's what we look forward to in heaven. And it says, where such affections meet together. Amen. And while praise devout and mingled prayers make their communion sweet. So praise and worship and prayer, they go together with the communion of the saints. It's a common union. And then the same pleasure or bliss fills the breast up in another world, in worlds to come, where joy, like morning dew, distills, and all the air is love. There's not a hateful thought there. There's not an unkind word or inclination in heaven. And he said, and that's going on already. Did you know that? In heaven, the angels, it's going on there right now. And we just, if we sang this morning in that way, with that kind of love for one another and love for Christ, I mean, we're already a part of it. And all we have to do is change address later to be there. Okay. You start with 54. Sing 54. You know this one? You know this one? We sing it before prayer sometimes in the evening, before our evening meal.
Every faithful
that's wrong here and there. Ever faithful, ever sure. It's not ever faithful, ever. It's ever faithful, ever sure. That fa on the second syllable of faithful. The fa there. Let's get that. Keep that.
All things living He doth feed. Here's the ransom, wise and meek. For His mercy shall endure. Ever faithful, ever sure.
Sing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And what do we call that hymn, this short little hymn? What do we call it?
Doxology.
The doxology. World Why is 100. That, Brother Kevin?
World 100.
I was getting there.
Oh, sorry.
Hang on. I'm trying to remember what the doxology means, a single verse of praise or something like that, it seems. Then like Kevin was jumping ahead through, Old Hundred down here. See that in the middle? That was out of a Psalter of some kind. Maybe the Genevan Psalter over there on the right, you see. That's a hymn book, a Psalter, like a hymn book of the Psalms. And it was number 100 in there. Of course, it also means, do you know anything about the 100th Psalm in the Bible? Psalm 100. Can anyone start out quoting that? Wilbur, do you remember? It's something about all ye lands. Something about sing unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, but not we ourselves. I tell people that when they say that there isn't a God. I say, well, I didn't make myself. It's He that hath made us, not we ourselves. So, number 100 of the Psalms in the Bible, or in the hymn book. And I think we should almost have that as number 100 here, shouldn't we? And here's another little story. Abe Lincoln, one time, this is a story. He said, I can't sing. He said, I only know two songs. One of them is Old Hundred, and the other isn't. He didn't even know what the second song that he knew was. But he knew this one. So calm. Let's go with the notes first, okay?
Yeah.
singing the words, let's all hum with our mouths closed. We're going to hum it through on your part, whether you're alto, tenor, bass, or soprano. Okay? Words first, then hum. Okay. Such a blessing about hymns is, you ever have it that you sing a hymn, there's a certain hymn that you can't even look at the title of that hymn without thinking of a time when you were younger or a certain time in the past where that was sung, and you figure you'll think of that particular moment when you sing this hymn for the rest of your life. I have that quite often, and Megan just shared with us this morning that she remembers, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe, how when she had, it happened to be that she was having a surgery in Mexico, but we had gotten to our old place in Tehuacan, Puebla, and it was, I think it was at night, and the house just had an awful odor to it. There was a blind woman living there that wasn't taken care of. She couldn't walk hardly, and she was blind, couldn't go anywhere, and an old man was taking care of her, and he never took a shower. And the house had been lived in by umpteen different people. Someone had allowed them to just come in there and live, and so things were just a mess, and we sat around and we sang the doxology. It was something to praise God about. In the darkest time, you can do that. And light will come. Our hearts fill with light and hope. Is that correct? Pretty well. Let's sing Lift Your Glad Voices, 53, okay? And when we sing Lift Your Glad Voices, that's what we're going to do, isn't it? Okay.
Gather around you.
And we don't have to die. We can't stay in the grave anymore. Because he wouldn't stand there. And what did he do? What verb does it use for how he came out of the fetters? What are fetters?
Handcuffs.
Handcuffs. Chains. How did he come out of that?
He burst from the fetters.
He burst! He didn't just... He burst. That's our Jesus. You can come up here a little bit for us. Right in the final of that chair. There. Give everybody a little breather back there. Up here. Place. Very good. Now, let's sing it. I'm not sure if you know Light After Dark. 52. Francis Ridley Haverly, best known for two precious hymns, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. That's one of them. And another is, I Gave My Life for Thee. What hast thou given for me? Remember that one? She's best known for those two hymns. She wrote a lot of hymns. She was a bright candle in England as far as hymn writing and giving us new hymns. But it was a short candle. She died at my age, 43 years old. So, light after darkness, gain after loss, strength after weakness, crown after cross. Someone finished the verse for me. Weeping may endure for a night, but...
joy.
Joy comes in the morning. Imagine you say it. Say it all together. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You're ever scared that night? Wake up with a bad dream? Or you're in pain, think about it. The light's coming. Joy comes in the morning. Ready? Light after darkness. Sight after sight. Did you understand those words? You 7-year-olds. Who's 7? You seven. Frances Ridley Haverhill began to write poetry when she was 7. She began to write verses when she was 7. There you go. One more. Did you have one of the hymns to suggest to you from one of the old ones?
I heard the bells on Christmas Day.
Oh yes, I've been wanting to sing that one.
Okay.
And you know what? What number is it?
32. Can you refresh us on the history of the?
Yes. Yes. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Heard the bells on Christmas Day during the American Civil War. The country was at war. It was an awful time when he heard the bells on Christmas Day at the churches, donging away. And he just thought, this doesn't fit. There's no peace. The message of the angels was what? Glory? Someone say it for me. Glory to
God, peace, goodwill.
Glory to God in the
peace,
louder.
And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men.
And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And he said, this doesn't, it's just not that way. It's terrible right now. And he got to thinking a little bit and to hoping. And that's what we need to do. Because our times now are just as dark. Or dark. And we have a hope of that true peace. And that can be where else? Where can we have peace even though everything is war outside? In our hearts. That's right. Okay.
Sweet the rumors we keep.
first song we sang this morning. Where else do we get to experience peace on earth and goodwill? You know? Out with it, one of you.
In heaven.
Hey, did you look at that song that I talked about? 58 was the first song we sang this morning. For that, what's that about? 58. Sang it first. We talked about it afterward.
Between
brethren. Between brethren, absolutely. Here in the brotherhood. That's peace on earth, goodwill. It's not easy all the time. And we're just going to be at peace one with another, right? And that's a haven from this wild, wicked world. Family of God. Well, I enjoyed it. You guys can come back.
The assignment for this week was to tell some thought you out of David's message last week. And I thought about how he said that all the valiant fighters in the Old Testament, how they were doing God's will, and if it was today, they would turn the other cheek, because that's God's will now.
I thought about how now, since Jesus came, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and he wants to be us to be a part of his kingdom, where there's peace, and that's why he wants us to turn the other cheek.
I like the idea of why in the Old Testament they fought so much, because the spiritual realms were at war. That after Satan's kingdom had won over the human race, God promised that he would send his son someday, and through the Israelites, and so the devil's kingdom was trying to kill that seed off so that wouldn't happen, and so God had to have his people fighting and destroying other people so that they wouldn't get together and destroy them.
I appreciated Kevin's bit that he shared after the message about how the Israelites, when they were commanded, or various Israelites groups, when they were commanded to go to war, they cowered and didn't go when the Lord had commanded them. And then later on, they would have heartily went, but they missed their chance. And that really struck me, because that's how life is. You know, oftentimes life is always unpredictable, basically. And we get an opportunity to do good, or we get an opportunity to go through a trial or something that to make us stronger. And then oftentimes we cower and just give in to temptation and just try to find an easier way. And then later on, when things are calm, we try to stir things up and do something exciting. And I just thought how it's kind of like the weather, you know, it comes and goes, and you've got to live, you've got to roll with it, and just take the sunny days and the stormy days and learn to be strong, trust the Lord through it all, and get your heart where it needs to be. So
I was thinking about how it's not cowardly to be non-resistant, because it's often much harder and braver to just restrain yourself and not strike back and just turn the other cheek.
Oh, I liked how he said that back in the Old Testament, they still had to, even though they were able to fight and defeat the enemy, they didn't have power without God. And how that one city, I think it was Ai, that they went to fight, and Here they a man had sinned in the camp, so they didn't win because God wasn't with them.
I thought of how much easier it would be to follow the Old Testament and destroy your enemies, but we should just turn the other cheek and love them anyway, like Stephen did. He was getting stoned, and he could have jumped up and started fighting back, but he just took it and told God to forgive him.
The Old Testament, there was fighting because they were trying to destroy the seed. But now Jesus came, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and we should live in peace now.
It's kind of what Jaden was saying. It's a lot harder to stand up and say what's right and not fall in. Kind of like the song you sang, peace after pain and joy after sorrow. It's a lot easier just to turn the other cheek and go on and forgive them.
I had kind of the same thing Chad talked about here. How it takes a lot more effort to just let someone go with something they did to you and forgive them for it than it would take to get mad at them and start beating them. And that's just letting yourself go if you do that. And you're being stronger if you turn the other cheek and don't let them hurt you.
I was thinking right along the same lines as Hans was. It's in the Old Testament, it was God's will to destroy their enemies so they couldn't, their seed would live. And then in the New Testament, when Jesus came, he taught us to love our enemies. In today's world, it's a lot harder. A lot harder to love your enemies because it's all around you every day, nonstop. You need to be strong.
In the Old Testament, Jesus told his people to fight to preserve the seed, but now in the New Testament, he told them to just be kind and love one another.
When everything had gone downhill and was real violent, God sent Jesus not just to get more Christians, but to make a whole New Testament for everyone to follow.
In the Old Testament, men had to fight, so Jesus said to them. In the New Testament, they don't anymore. Because Jesus already came.